missed a few things last week, and so tonight we're going to start something a little bit new. We're going to talk about some of the differences over the next few weeks when Paul makes mention of the word "but now." And we've all heard it time and time again, but there's some things that I hope bring out to you a little bit different when we talk about tonight, the righteousness of God. And the reason I want to talk about this tonight is because through the day, when you talk about those things that are not necessary for our salvation anymore, or we don't do works of righteousness for our faith anymore because we have the faith of Christ, those things that if you talk to people through the week, it's so funny that I have found myself speaking those things of what Christ has done for us, for our salvation, and that He has done all the works, and have from every denomination around me at work, because we have tons of employees, and all agree through the whole, yeah, and the next thing you know, they say, but we need to do this, and I thought, you know, this just, it just irks me so bad, but as a body of believers, we've got to be reminded where we came from, what we believe, and it's very clear that the Apostle Paul says, talks about being tender-hearted, gentle, and knowing how we need to share this truth. But the first thing we need to do is to know the truth and why we teach what we teach. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and go to verse 11. Ephesians 2:11. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands." You see how physical that is? I mean, that's, I didn't mean to stop there, but that's just so physical by what those people called those Gentiles. And where those people come from, and what they had to do, and you'll see the difference in time past of the works that they had to do. Verse 12 says, "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." You can take those three verses and probably write 50 things in those three verses that are absolutely different from things in time past to today. And it's amazing the very things that were given to Israel, okay, and the very things that were not given to us, but that were taken care of by Christ through the blood. Okay? So you see here the comment of times past, and you see also in these three verses the comment of "but now." And oftentimes we see that spoke of that which is to come. And so all through our Word, if you read Paul's letters, he continues to break down time past, but now, things to come. I mean, it is so clear. You can, because of this divide, the Bible, as you're dividing times past, but now, and things to come, you can also see past, present, and future. Okay? Today, we can break down these things almost as if it's certain times. And it makes it easier to understand. The Bible can be this way because there are things that were true in time past. How people were to be saved, right? We know in time past, we can read how they were to walk. Okay? In time past, we can see what was expected of these people that God spoke to, which were the children of Israel. And that we can also see, when Paul says, "but now," we can see those same things today that are no longer in effect. Okay? There are things that are true for today. I don't know why my son would be calling me right now. I've got to get it because, hey, Grant? Okay. They went and got something to eat, so it bothered me that he'd be calling me, so he didn't have to call me. So sorry about that. I'm thinking wreck in my mind, you know. Anyway, because I know he knows what I was doing, so I thought, surely he's not calling me. Okay. Anyway, we're through with that.
It's okay, you're forgiven.
Thank you. And I didn't even do anything wrong. Anyway, those things in time past, we can see in Paul's writings, they're no longer in effect for today. Does that mean that those things in time past were not true? Absolutely not. They were true. But today, they're not in effect. They are not in effect in times past, nor are they in effect for the things that you see, as Paul writes, in the future. So we can break those things down through studying the Word, how times are. They're all were right, because the Word is perfect, but doctrine for today is specifically by Paul's letters, and you can see that. So today what I want to look at is I want to look at the words "but now." And we'll probably do this for a couple of weeks. When we see this, it will always refer to something that's different than it was before. Every time you see "but now," you will see things that refer to something that is different than before. When you look at this in Paul's epistles, you'll see what was and you'll see what is. And if you read it at all, just by what it says, there's no way you can put these things together and say that it's all for us. It can't work. And so we're going to look at that. Go to Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 19. Romans 3:19. In Romans 3:19, the Apostle Paul writes, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference." In Romans 3:21, we see, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." Now we're going to stay and harp on this for a little bit, because it is huge when it comes to what people do today in their services or wherever they are. They don't understand the righteousness of God or by where it comes from. And most of them pick up works as though they are being righteous and their own righteousness. But we see here in 3:21 it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." Now there was a time where people manifested the righteousness of God by following the law. We know that. They manifested the righteousness of God by what they did. Okay? We know in times past, if you look in the Old Testament, that went on. Now, it wouldn't save a person. Okay? If so, then Paul would have been saved. If it would save somebody, then even the Pharisees would have been saved, right? So it wasn't the fact that it saved them, but it was the fact of what they were called to do. And that's why you see in the future, you'll always see the writings of enduring. They're going to have to endure to the end of time. They had to endure, and these people would die in their faith and doing works by showing what they believed. And so we know that there was a time before where God's righteousness was manifested by them following the law, them being Israel. But at one time, people's faith was demonstrated by keeping the law. Okay? But if it saved somebody, it would save Paul. Did he not follow the law? I mean, absolutely. The Pharisees followed. So it didn't save him. I don't want to make any confusion here. But it still was something they had to do. I'll give you an example. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 24. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. We know that what was written here of Moses. It says in 6:24, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our," look, "righteousness." Okay? They received their righteousness. Okay? "It shall be our righteousness if," look at the condition, "if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us." So how was the righteousness of God manifested? It was by their works. It was by what they did. Okay? Go to Luke chapter 1. Go to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, look at the next couple of verses. Just a good example. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both," look, "righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." So it's clear in times past, those things were extremely important for the manifestation of the righteousness of God to be seen. And it's by what they did, okay? There were those who kept the law apart from their faith. They just kept the letter of the law, right? There were also those who kept the law that believed. But there were all kinds of people that kept the law. Okay, that's what they did. And there were those that kept the law that believed, and they demonstrated their faith by keeping the law. That's what they did. To show their faith, they had to keep the law. I'm reminded, I don't remember exactly where it is, but one of the bigger arguments that I had at another place I was at before was a preacher came in to me. I was an associate pastor, and somewhere in Matthew, I believe, it talks about the man who was a very good servant and how he is how he quit being faithful. And it said that when he died, he was cast to where there was weeping, where he would hear weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the issue was is he quit being a faithful servant, that good faithful servant. He quit doing the works and the laws of Christ. He quit doing works to manifest that king's righteousness. Does that make sense? And so the preacher came in to me as we sat down and made a comment. He goes, "What do you think this means?" You know, he's ready to be real theological, and I'm about as untheological as you can get. At one time you wouldn't know that. I tried to act like I was really smart by reading a lot of other books, but let's just be honest. I have to study hard just to get what I get. But in saying that, he would make this comment. And he had been reading a couple other books, so he was giving me what he thought it meant, even though I had already read those other books. So I knew exactly where he was going. And he made the comment that this person still would go to heaven, but he was so far away that he could see those in hell. I thought, doesn't say that at all. The issue was, this servant clearly did not continue in the faith. Okay? And what did it do? He fell from his faith. Therefore, he would die and he would go to hell, is what he would do. Right? That's the issue. It's not hard. Just read it. But some people become theological, and that's what you see. But now, so there are some of those who kept the law that believed, and they demonstrated their faith by keeping the law, by continuing all the way to enduring to the end. When we're out of here during the tribulation, there are those that better endure to the end. They can't take the mark. They can't do it. They have to endure. Okay, aren't you glad you don't have to live through that? I mean, I am. I'm really glad of that. Now, when you compare this to Romans chapter 3, what we've just read, Paul says the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. He says, but now. This is how it used to be, but now. And he says the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. So those in the Old Testament manifested their faith by keeping the law, right? We manifest our faith by not keeping the law, correct? We don't have to worry about those things, right? So in times past, people demonstrated their faith by what they did. Now we demonstrate it by the fact that we do nothing in relation to our salvation. Okay? Does that make sense? By us doing nothing and just saying, I'm sinner, that doesn't save us. The issue is when we have trusted that Christ did it all, that the manifestation was because of what Christ did, and we trust in that, we no longer do anything, no works at all, baptism, the Lord's Supper, singing in the church choir, following the Ten Commandments. Now, are those laws bad? They're not bad. But the issue is it has nothing to do with our salvation. Where in times past it had everything to do with their salvation. Does that make sense? And Paul says that is a... So that but now is about as big as you can get in comparison to how you should live out your day. And if you say you're going to do them both, good luck, because you can't. Can't be done. Because grace isn't grace at all if works are involved. Right? And we know that. Okay, so in times past, people demonstrated their faith by what they did. We demonstrate it by the fact that we do nothing in relation to our salvation. Not in doing nothing in working for Christ's sake. That's where people that start grasping this grace, where they become very... they feel like sometimes it gives them license to do whatever they want. I have a young man right now that was growing up in the youth group that was getting this stuff. I mean, you just could see his head spinning and he was getting it. He was excited. It was like you heard the comment, the light went on. This guy's a young guy, by the way. This guy is as wise as you get. I mean, he's got a full ride scholarship to, what's the place in New York? Coast Guard? Where?
Massachusetts is not New York.
No, this is in... the Coast Guard or whatever. What is that, though? West Point. Thank you, Dan.
That's Army.
Oh, okay, Army. Never mind. Before I told you I wasn't smart. I better read it and remember it. But anyway, this guy is intelligent, okay? He's in an issue now that he is just living the way he wants to. He's using this freedom as a license to do what he wants. Make sense? And off and on, he'll text me and he'll talk to me. And he knows. The father made the comment a while back that he hated the fact that they ever came here, because had they not come here, he would still be following some rules. Well, I just made the comment back that you would think you had rules in your own household as you raised your child. I mean, honestly, you can blame whatever you want to blame, but the issue is here's a guy that knows the truth. Okay, and decides, I'm free. And by the way, I know he knows. I've had talks with him. And if he died today, I believe he would be in heaven. The issue isn't by what he did wrong, it's just so it isn't by what he did right. The issue is if he trusted Christ as his Savior, and what Christ did at the cross, dying for his sins, was dead, buried, and rose again, he is as saved as he can be. Sometimes that's hard to grasp when you see a guy living like a nut, right? But that's grace. By the way, we all have the same proclivity to be just as bad as he is. Right? And in our minds, let me tell you, sometimes I can't believe the things that I think. You know, I know y'all wouldn't believe that, but believe me. But no, there are things that I catch myself doing, those very things that Paul talks about that he does, he shouldn't do. I mean, look, we still have this flesh on. The issue is not to trust that flesh. Okay, that's the issue. But I didn't mean to go chasing that around, but it's important that we know, not in doing nothing in working for Christ's sake, but doing nothing in relation to salvation. Okay? We still are workers. We still do the work that God calls us to do. We don't have the issue that, well, I'm saved, so it's not in doing nothing. Now the issue is, when it comes to our salvation, it's in doing nothing. but we are still called ambassadors. We're still called to do the work. We're still called to follow Paul as he followed Christ, the risen Christ. So sometimes this grace, if we're not careful, we can sure let a person get free and go. Okay? We're not to call him back into bondage, but we're supposed to come together as a body of believers to show that manifestation that has taken place through our life. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not I who lives, it's Christ who lives in me. We're not here to pervert that gospel, right? So we've got to remember that. Romans 3:21. Go back to Romans real quick. Let's look at this one more time. Romans 3:21 again says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." Now we read just before that how it was manifested. And Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." So today, righteousness is manifested by the truth of the gospel, trusting in Calvary plus nothing. Right? That's what Paul's saying here. Now, many today believe they're demonstrating righteousness by their good works. We realize that, don't we? I mean, let me tell you what. Some are the first ones at the door to open the door for the other. Some people are singing solos or getting a special part in the play. Some are at the altar waiting for others to come down the altar so they can pray over them. I mean, it is, I'm telling you, it is a works manifestation world in this area, and I was in the middle of it trying to be better than everybody else. And let me tell you what, to the eyes of others, I was one good person. I know beyond shadow of a doubt. I was moving up the ladder of success in the church. Okay? And so when I see this, I see how I was. And today, that would not manifest anything of God. It would manifest everything of myself. Where in times past it wouldn't, if I was following the laws. So today, righteousness is manifested by the truth of the gospel, trusting in Calvary plus nothing. We see today that many believe they're demonstrating righteousness by their works. They use scriptures even. I can remember by the fruits they bear. I've shared that with kids all over the world. We know you're saved by the fruit that you bear. How pitiful. Because it isn't that way. The Bible says that we are to maintain good works. Right? We know that. The Bible says that we are created to Christ Jesus unto good works. So good works are extremely important. Don't take me wrong. But a lost person can do good works that a saved person can do. Right? They can imitate the very same things. And that's what I believe you see in most churches today. Because they're not trusting in what Christ did, they're trusting in what they did. The righteousness of God that is manifested in the words and the testimony in those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. Get that? The righteousness of God, how is it manifested today? It's manifested in the words and the testimony in those who have trusted Jesus Christ. Because it's Christ in them. Right? So we need to remember those things. And it's proclaimed His righteousness, not ours. Because the testimony of myself, when I share a testimony, if I proclaim anything of myself, that's not righteousness at all. Because our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. That's right. So all of our own righteousness is filthy rags. So then God gave us the gift of what? Righteousness. That's what He gave us the gift of. This is where people miss it. They don't realize this righteousness that we have because of Christ is a gift. They think it's something they got to work at. Okay, and I want you to see this. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, go to verse 12. In Romans 5:12 it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is what? The free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the, look at this word over and over again, of the gift of what? Righteousness. See, people don't understand this righteousness is not by what they've done, but it's a gift. It's something that is given. Okay? And so, we can't put works involved in our testimony as being saved if this is a gift, because you get no gift if you've done it yourself. You've earned it, right? A gift is something you've not earned. Correct? Now, it says, abundance of the grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So this free gift of righteousness came through Jesus Christ. No longer, in times past, what happened? How they manifested the righteousness of God? By Jesus Christ? No, by their works. By following the law, meeting the conditions. And now this gift that we get, the same righteousness, is a gift by Jesus Christ. Now, that's a beautiful picture, if you haven't ever seen that. I want you to look at Romans 10. Go to Romans 10. Now, in Romans 10, we know Paul is writing to his brethren, to these Jews, okay? To these Jews that did not believe Jesus was the Messiah. And his hopes was that they would understand the grace message now given so that they too could be saved by Paul's gospel. Because they couldn't be saved any other way. And so we know in Romans 9, 10, and 11, you see Paul sharing about this Israel that did not believe. Okay? And if you go to Romans 10, look at verse 1. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of what? God's righteousness. What would God's righteousness be? That gift. They're ignorant of the gift. All they knew is work, 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 work. Okay? Now look at it. His heart's desire and prayer for Israel that they might be saved. For he bears them record that they have a zeal. These people were working. They were following the commandments. They were doing all these things and meeting these conditions, thinking they were manifesting the righteousness of God. Okay? But not according to knowledge. not according to knowledge. They had no knowledge. They had a zeal for God. They had no knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish, look at that, their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They've not submitted themselves unto what Christ did at the cross. The gift that He gave. Notice what they're ignorant of. They were ignorant of God's righteousness. They were zealous for the law. They were trying to establish their own. And He was the end of the law of righteousness, wasn't He? That's what Romans says. There are many today that are this very same way. In fact, I think most people are this way that are in churches all over the place. There are many today that are preaching a works salvation. They don't understand that righteousness is a free gift. they ever could get that, they couldn't throw out works at all. They're going about to establish their own righteousness by their own deeds, okay, and by their own laws. That's what's going on. They don't understand that, but now the righteousness of the law is by faith to faith. Right? It's by faith to faith. They don't understand it. They're ignorant. It says here, in what Paul is proclaiming, they are ignorant of God's righteousness. And I believe today that's what you see. People that are ignorant of God's righteousness. This free gift that through Jesus Christ, not of their own works, because their works are as filthy rags. Let me tell you, I look really good at a lot of places. And it was as filthy as could be because it promoted my own righteousness. I'm telling you, it did it. They're going about to establish their own righteousness today. I believe this fits so perfect. They have not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God at all. And Paul here says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Right? So if they're caught up in the law, then they're unbelievers. Would that be fair to say? The righteousness of God was manifested by Jesus Christ and through the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. That's how we know what the righteousness of Christ is. That's so simple than to say, if you do this, if you do this, if you do... I mean, it's so simple. And we make it so hard. Go to Romans 7, verse 6. Look at the very first part of this verse. But now, another but now, in chapter 7, verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law. So if no longer righteousness is exhibited by keeping the law, then there is no need for the law in relation to salvation or righteousness, is there? Does that make sense? Paul does say that the law is good if a man keepeth it, right? We know that. Every law also is reiterated. You'll see every commandment reiterated in Paul's letters except keeping the Sabbath. You'll see that. Keeping the Sabbath was specifically related to Israel. So I'm not saying we abolish the Ten Commandments. I'm not saying that everybody that has one sign in their yard that we must go out and light it and burn it. No, there's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments if we understand it was used to show us we're sinners. You know what I'm saying? The people today are not using that sign as that. They're using it to remind you to put you in bondage. The thinking that they're going to manifest the righteousness of God if we act it out. When Christ has already given us the free gift of the righteousness of God. So, you know, we're delivered from that. What Paul, though, is showing us is that we are not under the law and we don't manifest righteousness by keeping the law. Okay? It's paid for. Romans, say in 7, just back up and go to verse 5. Look what Paul says. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So, now is there any way you could believe the Bible at all and say we're under the law? When you read that, there are people today that will tell you over and over again that we're under the law. Look what it says. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What does delivered from the law mean? The deliverance came through the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We're delivered from that law by Jesus Christ, right? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is, today, there are so many places that are so caught up in a thinking they can follow this law and bring about the manifestation of the righteousness of God. And that if they just do these things, that this kingdom is going to come. I mean, they're so deceived in thinking this. Think about it. I mean, could you imagine what Christ did and to establish, to give you the righteousness of God by what He did as a gift? And us turning around and thinking, well, we're going to bring our own manifestation of the righteousness of God. That's crazy to even think we can do it. If anybody could have done it, Paul would have done it. The Pharisees would have done it. Israel would have done it. Okay? We can't do that. Give you an example. Look at 1 Timothy 4:1. The Apostle Paul says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from faith, from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." And what do we read? Stay there. What do we read in Romans? That they were ignorant of the truth. Right? He had a zeal. They had a zeal for God. Okay? Same picture of what's going on here in these end times, and Paul's writing these letters. Okay? And he says in verse 4, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Now think about it. People today are teaching today in relation to the law, believing they're spiritual in doing this. There are people out today that are doing this all day, believing they're spiritual. Paul says it's a result of giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I mean, you see the Catholic Church forbidding to marry, right? You see the Seventh-day Adventists telling you to eat certain meats. Paul tells them they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Because he says clearly, that's not the issue. Now, it's interesting, the preaching and teaching of the law one time was the very message that was to be given to Israel, and they needed to hear it. Isn't it interesting? We see at one time they needed to hear this law. It was needed. It was necessary for Israel to hear the law. But if preached today, then it's from a person that's seduced by spirits or by doctrines of devils. Now, two things that are different can't be the same. We got to decide, are we under the law, or are we under the grace that is a free gift that is given to us? But you can't take it off. If you tell me this word is all our mail, then I don't know which way to go. I need an understanding. The only way you can understand this is to know that at one time, they had a kingdom gospel. They were waiting for a kingdom. They were working hard. They were bringing the manifestation of the righteousness of God. By the way, they'll do it again. They'll be the salt of the earth. They'll go out into the world and they'll bring people to the king. That's going to take place. And here we see the prophecy of it. But if you tell me that you can mix this with these things, then we're missing something. Because the very things that they were told to do are the very things that Paul says, if it's preached today, it's from seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So you got to follow one or the other. I mean, and people today will tell you it's all for them. Perfect example. The reason why, there's a lot in heaven still for God that Romans spoke of, just like Paul said. But they're ignorant of the gift. Ignorant of the gift.
I think there might be a difference with what you read about them being ignorant and this here chapter 4. Whereas before they were doing it ignorantly, not knowing. And here, now they know it.
Yeah.
And they are deliberately choosing not to do it and actually going the other way.
And there are people today, though, would you believe, that don't know it and they're just preaching the Bible. Yeah. But you're right. There's, you know. There are people today that have lied to themselves so much, saying that they were called by God. And all they're doing is following another man. But yeah, you're right, Mark. Both
there's
ways.
There's preachers out there, and we know them.
That's a good point.
There and they know the truth of Paul's.
Yeah.
But they're not willing to pay the price.
And you've dealt with that at the church you came from.
Because if they turn around and preach what they know is true, they'll lose their job.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Great point.
And you lost your job.
Yeah. It's a great point. Great point.
It seems to me, would I be correct in saying that that all denominational organizations believe preach and promote a conditional salvation?
Well, I can't think of one that doesn't preach the grace of Christ, the grace of God rightly divided. I can't think of one.
Is it if you, and it's not just a belief only, it's an if you will confess your sin, if you will turn your life around, if you will repent, if you will walk the aisle, if you will be a candidate. There's always an if. Every denomination that I can think of has an if connected with salvation.
So we ought to name this the No Ifs Grace Church. Unless it's a but now. No ifs, ands, but now. And in saying that, though, I think you're absolutely right, and that's why a lot of people will make the comment, well, what kind of church are you? And I'll say, well, we're not a denomination. And they'll go, oh, a non-denomination. No, we're not even a non-denomination. We're not a denomination at all. We follow the grace of God.